Dear brothers and sisters, I will try in English to tell what I understood from this passage from John chapter 6, feeding the 5,000 and I would like to apply it also to my life and to our lives as we can. Sometimes going up to the pulpit and seeing the multitude, I also ask sometimes how I can find bread to that this may eat and to feed the church with spiritual food. But the Lord is always providing, and He is powerful and gracious and ready to give us food in due time. When we read the Gospel of John, we may realize that this is different from the other Gospels. And the miracles are selected, all the events recorded here are selected, and at the end, even John is writing that he couldn't record everything, he couldn't say everything, what Jesus did and said, but he chose some of the miracles and some of the events which were most important. Now, beside the resurrection, which is recorded in all four Gospels, this is the only miracle which is recorded in all four Gospels also. We know that that the Lord feeded 4,000 with 7 bread and some fishes. But this is another event, another miracle, when 5,000 were fed with only 5 little loaves and 2 fishes. And John is also leaving out from his records a quite long time, recorded in Mark chapter 3, 4, 5, 6, and in Luke from 6 to 9, and all what we read in Matthew about the Sermon of the Mount and the parables and all these are not recorded in John. But chapter 6 starts that after these things, after sometimes after these events, this happened near the Sea of Galilee or Sea of Tiberias, that a great multitude was coming to him, and the disciples were concerned about them, that they are hungry, they knew, and the sun is going down, is the end of the day, so what to do? Send away that they may find food for themselves, they may buy bread. And the Lord is saying, you should give them something to eat. Said to Philip. And Philip said, we cannot. He began to calculate 8 months' wages. 200 denarii are not enough. 1 denarii was a wage for 1 day's work. So it was a lot of money. Just for a piece of bread for each. We cannot. But Andrew, another disciple, said that here is a young lad who has something. 5 loaves and 2 fishes, which were not very much, even if we consider that a young boy took, probably his mother gave him something to eat, had in his almost a plastic bag. But for that day to eat something, it was not much. 5 little loaves and 2 fishes. But it was enough for a miracle. And everybody had enough and remained 12 baskets after that. Now I would like to consider this morning the 3 major characters here mentioned in the story, because they are quite different, and they are different types of characters, or presented, or if we apply to ourselves, we may recognize some of the characteristics they had. There is hopelessness and idleness at Philip. There is initiative and little faith at Andrew. And there is total dedication and sacrifice at the young lad. Philip, he is from Bethsaida. Bethsaida is not very far from the place where Jesus was with the multitude. And Andrew and Peter was also from Bethsaida. The disciples were worrying about the multitude. Send them away. They are hungry. They are tired. And it's the end of the day. You have to give something to eat. Yourself have to do that, said the Lord. And we are reading here, but he said to test him, Philip, for he himself knew what he would do. Jesus knew their needs. He also knew the way how he is going to fulfill that need. But Philip had no answer for the problem. He began to count. He knew mathematics. How much is needed for a piece of bread for each? Oh, we don't have that money. It's too costly. We cannot help. No way to do something with them. Send them away. And his attitude is a sin, because he's even not trying to do something, and he has a very strong unbelief in the solution, sees no solution. Now, even in John, we are reading that the Lord healed the nobleman's son, that he turned the wine, the water into wine, and Philip was there. And we are reading about many other miracles from the other Gospels, what Jesus performed, healing the sick, cleansing leprosy, open the eyes of the blind, casting out demons. He knew that Jesus is there. He knew that Jesus is the Son of God. He knew that he has the power, but he's even not trying to ask or to believe that the Lord has the solution. Indifference, idleness, hopelessness, these are his characteristics. Now, in the Old Testament, about Jonah, if we read about him that he is not going to Nineveh to preach, that is disobedience. But that is a sin, not only because he is disobeying the clear command of God, but is a sin also because of his unbelief and hopelessness. He was disturbed even after he went and had a real success. He didn't want the people to repent in Nineveh. But the Lord wanted that and had the power to turn their hearts and change their lives, and wanted to use Jonah, a rebellious and disobedient prophet. If we are looking around ourselves, and are many people who are saying, my husband, my wife, my other family members, my neighbors, my fellow workers, the people around me will never repent, will never believe. They are so far from the Lord. They are living in sin. They are living in the world. That's unbelief. And if you stop praying for them, if you stop witnessing to them, you are doing what Philip was doing. He was doing nothing because of his unbelief. And this is what many people is characterized today in our churches. They are converted, they are saved. They sit in the pew, in the church, they had a prayer meeting, they had a service, they sing the songs, but they do nothing because of their unbelief. And they are either in the vineyard of the Lord. This is not a beautiful picture. It is a warning to us to not be the same. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a lad who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. But what are they among so many?" Then Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." We have in our church in Ypres a new building now for the congregation, but in the old building we had a writing on the wall saying that our God is present. The Lord is here. And we have to remember this all the time, even in difficulties or the situations when we don't have solution. The Lord is present. He is almighty. He has the solution. Don't say that there is no solution. When the Lord is present, always there is a solution. He has the answer. Just trust him. Just believe in him. This is what Andrew did. One of his other disciples, Andrew. He was not a great speaker, orator. He was not in the closest fellowship with the Lord, among those closest friends of Jesus. A simple disciple who liked to bring somebody to the Lord all the time. First, we are reading in John chapter 1 that he was bringing Simon Peter to the Lord. This is how Simon became the disciple of the Lord. Then we are reading in chapter 12 in John that he was bringing some Greeks to the Lord because they came to Jerusalem and said to Philip, "Sir, we want to see Jesus." And Philip told to Andrew. Andrew said, "Let's go to Jesus." And he took them to Jesus. And the Lord was preaching about his mission, his ministry, his why he came into the world. It was a revelation there. It seems that he had an initiative. Taking this young lad who had 5 loaves and 2 little fish. He also expressed his own bitterness and little faith, saying, "But what are they among so many?" It's a little, just a drop in the ocean. But let's bring to Jesus. This is what we have. Let's try. Let's do something. So he was bringing the young lad to the Lord. And introduced the little boy what he has. The success, the result, the miracle sometimes depends from our initiative, because the initiative is showing our faith. And that step is very important. Many people may be very close to the kingdom of the Lord, as the Lord is saying in Mark chapter 12 to a scribe, that he is close. He's very close. Probably one more step is needed, but that step is crossing the doorstep to be inside and not outside. Let's take the step, for that step which is necessary, which is our job, which is required from us to have a miracle. Let's see this from the Bible. We see in the life of Nehemiah. He came home, looked at the walls of Jerusalem, and saw that there is something to be done there. And then brought together all the leaders and all the people and said, let's build up the walls of Jerusalem to not be a reproach anymore. And he took the initiative. And others joined him. And the walls were built in 52 days, was ready, because somebody started. When the Lord called Gideon, he also had excuses. He began to say, I am too small. My house is very small. And my tribe is the smallest among the others. What can I do? And the angel was saying, go with this might of yours, and you will save Israel from the hands of Midianites. But the Lord expected him to start, to make the first step, to have initiative. So he destroyed the idol and cut the holy trees of Baal in the house of his father, which was very dangerous. They almost killed him. But the Lord was with him. And because he started with this initiative, the Lord blessed him with a great victory after that. I was thinking always about the priests who were crossing the Jordan River in the time of Joshua. We are reading in Joshua chapter 3 that they were carrying the ark and they were walking in the front, far in the front. And the Jordan was full with water. And when they arrived there, they didn't stop. And the water was there. And nothing happened. But when they stepped into the water, and when the foot touched the surface of the water, then happened the miracle. The water stopped and they could go across the river. So that step, which is the step of Andrew, bringing this young lad to the Lord, having initiative, the step of faith. I may mention also from book of John, when Lazarus was raised from the dead. Everybody was crying there at the tomb, even the Lord. And then he commanded, take the stone away. And Martha began to explain that it's not possible, it's not good, it's not a good idea. Because there are 4 days already. Now, humanly speaking, Martha was right. But the Lord is saying, I already told you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God. And your belief should be manifested that you take away the stone. Now, we don't need to consider or think that the Lord is not able to take away the stone. Who is able to raise the dead is able to take away the stone also. At Easter morning, nobody was needed to take away the stone. He has the power to take away the stone, but he will not do that. He asked the men around there to take away the stone. That's your initiative. That's the sign of your faith. You have to do that. Go on. And then you will see the glory of God. And we know what happened there. Now, this is the same here in this story, that Andrew has the initiative, bringing this young lad to the Lord. So this young man knew that he has something, brought him to Jesus. He put away his fear, his human philosophies and excuses, and took the initiative. Now, let's look, have a look on this young lad also. This was a child who came to listen to the preaching of the Lord. And he was bringing with him a little food for that day. This is what was left, probably. Some bread, a little fish, a sandwich. He could make two sandwiches and remained one more loaf for later. But at the moment somebody is coming and is saying to him, come to the Lord. The Lord wants your bread and your fishes. And the boy is giving it to the Lord. He didn't say that this is not much and even for me is quite little, but let's don't say that I am selfish. I give half, two or three loaves and one fish, and half remains for me. That you may have some, I may have some. No, the Lord didn't ask for 50%. He asked for all of the loaves and all of the fishes. And he had to give it all to the Lord. At the moment, he could consider that he remains without it, and he remains hungry. What will happen? But at the end, when he received back 12 baskets, and also was satisfied, then he realized that it was a good choice to give it to the Lord. But at that moment, he didn't know what is going to happen. The Bible is saying that the Lord knew. And he was testing them. And sometimes the Lord is doing the same. What we can learn from here is that the Lord never asks what we don't have. He asks nobody to give something what he don't have. I hear sometimes excuses like, I don't have the capacity, the power, I don't have the theological training, I don't have the money, I don't have the time, they say. Now, they have 24 hours every day, like others. But we have to understand, the Lord is not asking what we don't have. But what we have, He's asking all. Not only a part of it. Let's say from 7 day we are giving 1 day to the Lord. No, he wants all 7. He don't ask from your talents or abilities to give a little bit to the Lord when you are in the church. No, he wants all your life and all your abilities, all your capacities, all your money, or your house, and so on, that he may bless and may have a miracle. I heard a little story told to children, but maybe good for adults also to understand the message. It was a little presentation of the parable of the pearl of great value, from Matthew chapter 13. And man was coming to the market and found this pearl and said, this is what I was seeking all my life. Yes, I found it. Now give it to me. And the man was saying, it's too costly. How costly it is? I'm ready to give everything. That will cost you everything. How much money you have? And he was saying how much money he has. You have to give it all. Okay, I pay. I pay all the money I have. Do you have money in the bank? I have. So you have to give what you have in the bank. Everything. Oh, what will say my wife when I get home? Oh, you have your wife. You cannot keep her. You have to give your wife. What I will do with the children? Oh, you have children. You have to give your children also. I may remain alone in the house. Oh, you have a house. You have to give your house. Okay. I may live in the car. You have a car. You have to give your car. Do you want to get the pearl of the great value? You have to give everything you have. And when he was ready to give everything and got it and was very happy, then the man said, do you know something? I give you back everything you have, but you have to know that are not yourself, don't belong to yourself anymore, are mine. You may use them only. And at the end, you will be accountability, how to say that. You have to stay before the Lord to say, to give account how to use all the gifts of the Lord who gave you back. Now this young lad was giving only 5 loaves and 2 fishes. This is what he had, not more. But the Lord asked him to give everything. Took into his hands, blessed them, and multiplied them. We may be a blessing for more than 5,000 if you do the same. But we have to know that the Lord is asking sometimes the most valuable and the most important thing we have. He was asking Abraham to give his only loving son, Isaac, to be sacrificed. The Lord was asking from the widow from Sarepta to give the last things she had for sustenance, for her life. But the Lord blessed them greatly after that. And the Lord said to Abraham, let me read. I don't know the word. It's in Genesis chapter 15, chapter 22. Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, by myself I have sworn, said the Lord, because you have done this thing, and you have not withheld your son, your only son, in blessing I will bless you. Yes, and this is what happened with Abraham after that. And we read in the book of Romans that the Lord didn't spare his own son to give to us, to save us. And also is in book of Romans, chapter 12, that you have to give your own body as a living sacrifice to the Lord. That is the starting point of Christian life, that I submit everything, I give everything to the Lord, and he is my life. He is my everything.
I don't know what is the Lord asking from you, but don't hold it strongly or withhold it back. Give it to the Lord that he may multiply it for you and make it a blessing for many others. May the Lord help us for that. Amen.